tonight. Go to Micah chapter number 6, Micah chapter number 6, and when you find that, you can find 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Micah chapter 6 in one hand, we'll read our text verse there, and then we'll go to where we'll be preaching from tonight, which we'll be preaching out of several different passages, but we'll start from Micah 6 and then 1 Samuel chapter 30. Micah chapter number 6, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. If this series that we've been doing on some things that you must do doesn't do anything else for you, at least it'll help you locate some of the minor prophet books in the Old Testament. Amen. Micah chapter number 6. We've been examining for several services now on Sunday nights and Thursday nights on the thought, some things that you must do. Not just putting all the onus on God to do everything, but things that God requires out of His people that we are supposed to do. Now we'll make this disclaimer of a statement. All of these things that I've been preaching about up to this point, Acts chapter 2, save yourselves and then keep yourselves, and all these things we've been looking at, Can I say that examine yourselves and all these things? Can I say you still have to have the help of the Lord to do these things correctly? You still need the Lord's help. I'm not saying you don't. The Lord will lend you His help, but He wants to see some effort on your part as well. The Bible said in Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, this has been our springboard text, where the Scripture said, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The prophet Micah said that God requires some things out of His people. So we've been looking at these things throughout the whole of Scripture, and we'll make our way to the New Testament to find more of them. But I'd like to start tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel in chapter number 30 tonight. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read the first 6 verses of the chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 1. David has, at this point in his life, he's the exiled king, if you will. Although already anointed to be king, back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he is now running from Saul. And even though he has been anointed to fulfill the office of king, at this point, God has not granted him the throne. Saul is still on the throne. So David has been hiding out in the land of the Philistines. Chapter 30, verse 1, the Bible said, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite." Verse 6 tonight, our text, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and for his daughters." Notice the last part of the text. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." So tonight, dealing with some things that you must do, I would like to deal with the thought of encourage yourselves. Encourage yourselves. One of my favorite chapters in all the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 30. I can't tell you how many times I've preached out of this chapter. You know my favorite book is 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 30 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire book. There's just so much good devotional application preaching that we find in this chapter. But I would say not only is this one of my favorite chapters in my favorite book, but this is one of my favorite verses in this chapter because it has one of my favorite statements in it. It is this statement that the Bible says that David encourages himself in the Lord his God. Now listen to me tonight. David didn't need anyone to pump him up. David didn't need anyone to prime him up. David didn't need anyone to pick him up. David didn't need anyone to pep him up. David didn't need a revival service to help encourage him. David didn't need the pastor to come along and try and jack him up. David didn't have to have six songs to be sung by the choir before he finally got happy in the Lord. David didn't have to have the worship leader get up and try and say, "All right, come on now, let's get going, let's sing, let's give God the glory." We don't find where he had to have a 45-minute sermon to finally start encouraging himself. As a matter of fact, what we find is there was a whole lot of trouble in David's life at this point, and in the midst of all of his trouble, he just starts praising God anyways and getting encouraged in the Lord. Now listen to me tonight. I just say this at the onset. Too many of us require way too much prodding to get encouraged in the Lord. Too many of us, it takes way too much pushing, poking, prodding before we are finally to the place where we are encouraged in the Lord our God. Can I say, when you get up in the morning, you are to take courage that God has given you another day. You hear me this morning? The Bible said every morning His mercies are new this morning. You ought not to have a whole bunch of pumping and priming to finally get you to the place where I feel encouraged. Brother, if you're a child of God, saved by the grace of God, got the book of God in your hand, got the Spirit of God living on the inside, you're the church of the living God, brother, you ought to be able to every once in a while, without any help from anybody, encourage yourself in the Lord. We're going to get to this part at the end of the message. I'm all for encouraging one another. We're going to get to that part. I believe that's part of encouraging yourself in the Lord. But listen to me. You are not to always have to have somebody text you before you feel encouraged. You are not to always have to have somebody give you a phone call before you feel encouraged. You are not to have to always have somebody else come along and pat you on your little spiritual tail and try and pat you on your little shoulder before you feel encouraged. Brother, you're a saint, heaven bound with a hammer down, heaven bound and hell proof. You ought to have something to be encouraged about on your own from time to time. Amen. We find that David, now we're going to go to the New Testament and show you how to encourage yourself in the Lord in a minute, but let me just say several things just by way of introduction real quick. We find that David encouraged himself in spite of his crisis. In spite of his crisis. Y'all, David's not encouraging himself, Brother John Glenn, in the midst of a real good day in his life. It's a bad day in David's life. David, Brother Randall, comes home and the gates are burned with fire. The house is burned down. The wives are gone. Their children are gone. Their stuff has been taken. I mean, brother, it is a major crisis in the life of David. And yet right in the middle of one of the greatest crises in David's life, we find he gets encouraged in the Lord anyway. Now, like that, I want you to hear me now. You say, how is it possible for David to be in a crisis and still be encouraged? Listen to me, because David's courage did not come from his wives. And David's courage did not come from the four walls of his house. And David's courage did not come from the money that he had stashed away in his mattress. And David's courage did not come from the animals that he had locked up out back in his stall. But David said, "Naked come I into the world, and naked I return thither." Like Job, "The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What gave David courage was the Lord his God. And David said he was God before I had anything, and he's God after.
can give Him glory, not because of what He gives, but because of who He is this evening.
I didn't intend to preach this hard tonight. I about preached my goozle out this morning. Felt like I was about to pass out by the end of that message. Praise God. And now I got all stirred up in this thing. In spite of His crisis, listen to me, He is not going to let what has happened to Him steal His joy. Some people ride the emotional roller coaster. If there's no crisis, they're encouraged. If there's a crisis, there is no encouragement in their life. Learn to get to the place to where you realize, yes, there may be problems. Yes, I might weep. Yes, I might hurt. But God is still good. God is still sovereign. God is still on the throne, regardless of my crisis. In spite of His crisis, He encourages Himself in the Lord. Watch this. In the sight of His critics, He encourages Himself in the Lord. Not just in spite of His crisis, in the sight of His critics. Notice verse 6. Watch what your Bible said in verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Hang on a minute. How would David know, Brother Donald, that the people are talking about stoning him? He heard them. Brother Danny, somebody says, hey, Dave, don't you know what they're saying about you over there? David, they're talking about you like you a yellow dog. I mean, David, they're saying rotten stuff about you. David, they are talking ugly about you. Matter of fact, David, they're talking so ugly about you, your critics are talking so bad about you, that they're saying they're going to kill you. I mean, as soon as they dry their tears up, they planning on dragging you out, David, and stoning you. Listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. I doubt anybody in here has ever had a critic in their life that bad. Oh, you've had someone, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, and words may never hurt me. You've had somebody say something to you or be ugly to you or something like that. But I doubt you've ever really had somebody, a group of a whole bunch of people, start really putting feet to their words and saying, we're going to drag you out and pick up rocks and just stone you till you're dead. And right in the sight of His critics, He starts encouraging Himself while they're watching. David, don't sit over and say, oh, listen to what they're saying about me. No, David starts encouraging himself in the Lord while they're watching. Listen to me, y'all. Don't let your critics steal your encouragement in the Lord tonight. Don't let your critics see that they have gotten to a place where they can rob you of your joy, rob you of your shout, rob you of your worship, rob you of your song. I wouldn't give them the blessed, fired satisfaction this morning, this evening. Listen to me. If you say, I'm walking into church and somebody's been criticizing me, somebody said something about me, well, the worst thing you can do is let them look across the pew, and while we're singing our songs, let them see you like this. Like somebody stole your best dog. Like your mother-in-law just moved in and brought all her cats with her. I mean, brother, look here. That's the worst thing. Hey, Miss Amy, get a witness. Praise God. I mean, that's the worst thing you can do. You say, what's the best thing I can do? I tell you, just fake it till you make it. Amen. Shout till you feel it. Just go ahead and give God glory anyways. Don't let them know they stole anything from you. Listen to me. Don't let what they're saying about you be greater than what God has done for you. What somebody said about me ain't bigger than what God's done for me. I wasn't worshiping for them no ways. I wasn't living for God for them no ways. I wasn't shouting for them no ways. I wasn't preaching for them no ways. God was good before they started talking. God will be good after they done talking. Just give God glory and encourage yourself. Let your critics discourage you from being encouraged in the Lord in spite of His crisis, in the sight of His critics. You say, what about David's encouraging himself? He did it for his captives. He did it for his captives. Y'all listen to me now.
If David, Brother Dwayne, if David just souls up, gets all discouraged, sits down, and starts pouting, who's going to go get his wives and their youngins? Nobody else is going to do it. Brother Joe, everybody else is tore up from the floor up. There ain't nobody else fixing to go. And if David sits down and just gets all discouraged himself, it ain't going to do his family nor their family any good. Now I want to say this to all the men in the building. Sir, if you just sew up and sit down and get tore up over every little thing in life and let your courage get wrecked and get discouraged over every little thing, it ain't going to help your family, your wife, or your children marry a bit. Marry a bit. That's South Georgia for not one bit. Marry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Listen to me tonight. Listen to me. I live with four women, y'all. I live with one woman for 20 years, my mama. I've lived with another woman for going on 20 years, my wife. And she gave me three more women, Esther, Abigail, and Charity. Me and Cody and Kirby's outnumbered and we outgunned. Amen. We got it though, ain't we, buddy? Praise God. Amen. And I'm going to just tell you, look, I ain't being, I'm just being honest. I know something about women. I'm around them all the time. Let me just say this. Women are emotional creatures. Their center of rule is their heart. I get it if the women in my life are emotional to the point to where one day they're more encouraged than the other day and a little bit more discouraged than the other day. But listen to me, men. For goodness sake, like the Bible said, quit you like men. In other words, act like a man. Listen to me. There's days it's going to be hard. Suck it up and get over it, buttercup. Listen, this world is trying to steal our masculinity from us and make us just as emotional as the girls in the building. Stop being that way. Make your mind up. I may not feel like serving God on Monday, but my family needs me to. So I'm going to get up, bless the Lord, and serve God anyway. I may not feel like going to church on Sunday, but bless the Lord, my family needs me to see me worship, and to see me sing, and to see me pray, and to see me walk with God. I'm not going to let my family down. If nobody else is encouraging me, I'll encourage myself in the Lord, because my children need to see it, and my wife needs to see it, and my babies need to see it, and other people need to see it. Be a man in this thing tonight. Amen. Amen. David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. Now you say, preacher, how do we, as New Testament Christians, encourage ourselves? There's three things we find in the New Testament. They all have to do with things you must do. I want to show them all three to you real quick. I preached too long in the introduction. So let me just throw out these three little bitty points and we're going to go to the house. Number one, how do we encourage ourselves? Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at three portions of Scripture and we're out of here. Now I want to stay encouraged, Brother Skip. I'm telling you, we live in a discouraging world. Y'all listen to me. I want everybody to understand something. I don't want nobody to think that anybody in here from the pastor to the pew are spiritual giants, because we ain't. We all got problems. We're all frail, feeble, human flesh, Brother Mikey. And here tonight, there are times when that spirit of discouragement creeps in on me, Brother Hunter. I'm telling you, as a pastor, there are times that spirit of discouragement on Monday mornings will creep in on me. It'll say, you ain't doing no good. Nobody got saved. Preach your goozle out and it just ain't nothing happening. Or this is going on, or I'm going to ruin this. And I'm telling you, the spirit of discouragement will come and get me. I'm telling you, quickly I have to arrest them thoughts. You better grab those things. That's that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Don't sit down in a pit of discouragement and let the devil beat you over the head. That's just right where you'll stay at if you do. So all of us deal with discouragement. Listen to me. It's not hard to get discouraged. It's hard to stay encouraged. Now, what I'm telling you tonight is the hard thing to do. The easy thing to do tonight, Brother Steve, would be me to just stand up here and tell y'all how, let's all be discouraged. We could all say, hey, amen, brother, let's just be discouraged about our job, about things going on in our family, about our finances, about who's in the White House. God help us. You know, that'd be real easy to be discouraged about all that. But the hard thing to do is to try and keep yourself encouraged. But God has given us the tools to do it. How do we do it? Number one, the first thing we find is this. Firstly, number one, talk to yourself in praise. Talk to yourself in praise. You say, preacher, ain't it weird or dangerous to talk to yourself? That only depends on what you're talking about. It's only dangerous, Brother CJ, if you start talking to yourself about the wrong stuff. I talk to myself all the time. I'm poor conversation. But I talk to myself all the time. But I talk to myself like this. You say, how do you talk to yourself? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Watch it. Here you go. Some things you must do. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves. Talk to yourself in praise. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Hard to stay discouraged when you're doing that, y'all. Giving thanks always. Y'all, I'll be honest. I don't like the next three words. I was always told, Brother Travis, I heard preachers say this, and I was guilty of saying it till I ended up reading this in my Bible and found out what I was saying wasn't true. I always heard preachers say, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, not for everything. And then I ended up reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, and it said, we're to give thanks. Not just in everything. Lord, how am I supposed to give thanks for? You fill the blank in. I don't know. But I'm telling you, he told us to do it. You say, explain it to me. Can't do it. Sorry, wish I could. I'm just telling you it's possible. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we encourage ourselves, preacher, in crisis among critics? How do we encourage ourselves for our family and things of this nature? Here's how you do it. You talk to yourself in praise to God. Y'all, I'm telling you from personal experience, it is hard for me to stay discouraged when I am praising the Lord. It is easy for me to stay discouraged, Brother Garrett, when I'm not listening to gospel music, or I'm not humming a good gospel tune, or singing a melody in my heart or in my mouth to the Lord. It's not hard. But I'm telling you, it is supremely difficult for me, Brother Bill, to stay in a discouraged state of mind when all of a sudden I'm walking around on the property here or off somewhere, and all of a sudden I start singing. I stand here and think about just what he's done. Start counting my blessings one by one. And I've been down in my pity party and getting discouraged. Then I hit that part. I do not deserve all that he's done for me. But I'll praise him forever through eternity. And I am amazed that he'd take the time to give me such blessings that fill up my life. He is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. You say, what starts happening? I can't stay discouraged. I didn't say what I'm discouraged about changes. I didn't say what I'm discouraged about gets removed. What I am saying is I don't stay discouraged. I end up encouraged because I am talking to myself in praise to God. And I am reminding my frail human flesh how good God has been to me. I truly do believe that's what, Brother Richard, I truly do believe that's what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30 when it said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I truly do believe he probably started singing one of his hymns, one of his psalms. The Bible says, speak yourself in psalms and hymns. He probably started speaking the Psalm chapter 18 where he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him, even into his ears. I got to think something like that. It's probably what he got to encouraging himself with. I'm telling you, praise is a powerful motivator. It will move you and it will move God. You say, preacher, I ride down the road and I just get so discouraged. Preacher, throughout my day, I'm so discouraged. I'm telling you, it will be hard for you to do if you start talking to yourself in praise to God. It's hard. I'm not saying you can't, but you really got to jump through hoops to try and do it. Say, I ain't a good singer. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about every child of God should be able to sing and make melody in their heart to the Lord. Amen. Praise moves things. It's like I heard a story one time about that fella. He's a pretty religious fella, and he wanted to impress everybody by, you know, how he could do stuff with his horses and his animals and things like that. And he taught his horse, his prized horse that he had, he taught him how to run by saying, praise the Lord. And he taught him how to stop by hollering, hallelujah. So every time he'd holler, hallelujah, that horse would stop. Every time he'd holler, praise the Lord, Brother Jacob, that horse would take off running. Brother Tyler, one day he was off trotting through the woods and going to wherever it was he was going to, and that old horse got spooked. Snake was in the way or something like that, and I mean that horse got spooked and just took off running. I mean he couldn't get him stopped for nothing. He thought, well, I'll just let him run out. But he looked up ahead and he saw there's a cliff coming. And he said, oh God, we got to get this horse stopped. And he just, in a crisis situation, you know, sometimes your brain just goes blank. And his brain just went blank, Brother Mike Hyde. And he sat there and he couldn't remember nothing. He was trying to remember everything. How do I get this horse to stop? He's pulling on the reins. That horse just charged and he said, glory. And the horse didn't stop. He said, amen. And the horse didn't stop. He said, thank you, Jesus. And the horse didn't stop. And Sunday's getting close to the edge. And right when they got right at the edge, he remembered. He said, hallelujah. And that horse just, I mean, brother, come to a stop right at the edge of the cliff. That old boy wiped his brow and he said, ooh, praise the Lord. Praise moves things. It moves something. Yeah, you say, well, it'll move. It'll move your heart. It'll move God's heart. Try it. I'm not giving you just personal testimony, even though I have personal testimony on what I'm saying. I'm giving you Bible tonight, and we know the Bible is true. So what is the first way to encourage ourselves? I want to stay encouraged. How do we do it? We talk to ourselves in praise. Secondly, can you go to Jude with me? Go to the next to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Jude, in verse 20. Now, tonight we're hitting several of these things that you must do. Three of them, to be exact, maybe four of them if you count the one in 1 Samuel chapter 30. But three of them in the New Testament here. Talk to yourself in praise. But secondly, don't just talk to yourself in praise. Talk to God in prayer. Talk to God in prayer. How do I stay encouraged? Talk to yourself. Remind yourself how good God is, praising the Lord. But then, tell the Lord. Talk to God in prayer. Verse 20 of Jude. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves. You feel down sometimes? Feel like you've been beat down, broke down, burdened down? Jude says, here's how to build yourself up. You don't build yourself up just by thinking happy thoughts, y'all. You don't build yourself up just by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. How do we build ourselves up? It's in the text. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? praying in the Holy Ghost.
See, preacher, I just feel like I'm beat down. Just feel like I'm... Here's how to help yourself get built up. Find yourself a little quiet spot somewhere and pray. I mean, like the song said, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that two man's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. I mean, brother, you find you a place and you just tell Him everything. It's hard to stay discouraged when you just pour out your... The Bible says it like this in the Old Testament. I poured out my complaint before the Lord. You say God wants to hear what bothers me to pour out my complaint? Absolutely. Y'all don't tell me that God doesn't know what you're made up of. God made you body, soul, and spirit. And don't tell me God doesn't understand how therapeutic it is for you to simply verbalize and talk to someone about your problems. Why do you think psychiatrists and psychologists make billions of dollars worldwide doing very little more than just letting people come into their office and talk? These psychiatrists, psychologists, they don't even know that you're made up of a body, soul, and spirit. Most of them are atheists and agnostics and don't believe there's a God. Can I just pause right here and say this? I don't believe a child of God that's born again has any business whatsoever going to a worldly psychologist or psychiatrist. I said, sister, I said, brother, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have no business going to a worldly psychologist, psychiatrist. Now, if you know one that's saved and born again, and they're going to give you Bible help and something in Scripture, knock yourself out. But this worldly stuff, they're going to mess your mind up. And we'll let them get up in my mind. We'll let them get up in my mind. I'd go somewhere where somebody could tell me something about God. Amen. I'm telling you this evening, you say, how do I keep myself built up? Go talk to God. Amen. Find yourself a private place, a quiet place throughout your day. Stay in contact with God, but not just throughout your day. Pause your day every once in a while, in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening, somewhere. You need a spot where you can just get along with God. Grab the horns of the altar and say, God, this is what I got. God, you know this is what's bothering me. God, you know what was said about me. God, you know the burden I got tomorrow. God, you know this is weighing heavy on me. And God, I need some... I'm telling you, there is something spiritual in help when you pour that kind of stuff out to God. Say, what will it do? I'm telling you from personal experience. I can't tell you how many times through my Christian life, but I'll just say it in the last a little over 6 years of being here. I can't tell you how many times that I've come into this place with burdens on my heart, with nobody in here, and found me a spot down over in here or over right around here, laying up here behind the pulpit and just poured out before God. You say, what did it do? Brother, it might not have changed the problem, but by the time I walked out them doors, son, I felt 10-foot tall Teflon coated and bulletproof. Something had helped me. It encouraged me. I'm talking about how to encourage yourself. The old songwriter had it right when he said, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You know, maybe we need to pull that one out and sing it every once in a while, Brother Jack. Get them men doing their part. Now let us. Amen. I like that song. I have no idea what a prayer wheel is or if it turns or burns or anything else, but I like the song, praise God. See a little prayer wheel turning, no little fires burning. I don't know what that stuff is, but I like a little talk with Jesus anyway. Yeah, that's like the time I was preaching. I'm fixing clothes. That's like the time I was preaching over at a church, and a fella got up right before I preached. This is back over farther in western North Carolina, and a fella got up right before I preached, and he got up, and son, I mean, it struck off with the soundtrack, and I thought, I've heard this soundtrack somewhere. And about that time, that old boy said, "There's a long black train coming down the line." Now, some of y'all sitting here are like, what's wrong with that? You don't realize that ain't a church song, praise God.
And he got up there and sung that long black train, don't go riding on the long black train. And I'm here to guest evangelist. I'm sitting on the front row, and I could tell the pastor on the other side, he was real embarrassed. You know, he's just like, oh, God, man, evangelist didn't get up here, and he's singing long black train, Josh Turner. And I wanted to try and make the pastor feel better. So I got up in the pulpit right after that, and I said, well, I reckon if there's an old ship of Zion, there's probably a long black train, too. I mean, I don't read about no old ship of Zion either. We think about that. So I don't know if I helped him feel any better, but I thought it was funny. I don't know what a prayer wheel is or a little fire burning, but I do know just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Talk to him. Talk to him. I'm just curious. You say, I'm discouraged. Okay, I'm not saying you're not. I believe you are. We all get that way. When's the last time you just told it to God? When's the last time you didn't go tell brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? And I'm not against all that. We're going to get to that this last point. When's the last time you just got to a place and just told the Lord? And then you come out of there and you started just talking to God while you was there. Then you got out and started talking to yourself in praise toward God. Telling you it will help encourage you. Encourage yourself. Talk to yourself in praise. Talk to God in prayer. Lastly, I'm done. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Now I'm trying to help us stay encouraged. I want to stay encouraged. I want our church to stay encouraged. We live in a discouraging world. Y'all, I'm telling you, I read the news like y'all do. I'm not sure, Brother Randy, how many times I've ever looked at the news of any sort and was encouraged. Not in a long time, anyways. I don't. Everything I read, I'm discouraged about it. I'm discouraged about the LGBTQ trash being crammed down our throat. I'm discouraged about the border stuff going on. I'm discouraged about this Ukraine garbage. I'm discouraged about what's going on in Israel. I'm sure discouraged about what's going on in the White House. I'm discouraged about... I look at this stuff like I'm constantly discouraged about this. I look at other church stuff and I'm discouraged about the direction of most churches and most preaching and singing. I'm just getting discouraged everywhere. This world and our society is a discouraging place for a child of God. And if that's all you feed yourself with, you will stay discouraged. I don't want to stay discouraged, Brother Cliff. I want to be an encouraged Christian. I don't want to be the kind of person, and we're going to get to that in this verse right here. I don't want to be the kind of person, Brother Jack, that when people leave my presence, they feel lower and more discouraged than they did when they came into my presence. Honest to God, I don't want to be that way. I want to be the kind of person that when you leave this place after preaching or after fellowship with me, I want to be the kind of guy that I've helped lift you up a little bit. We've laughed. We've talked. We've enjoyed fellowship. We've fellowshiped around the Bible. We've gotten closer to the Lord. I don't want to be the kind of person that after we're done, it's like, good Lord. Holy. Hanging out with Brother Zorn is like emotionally draining. He is discouraging. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to try and encourage us. Amen. Talk to yourself in praise. Talk to God in prayer. Lastly, talk to each other about God's promises. Talk to each other about God's promises. Now, before we get to 1 Thessalonians 5, look at the very last verse of 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul has just got done telling us about the rapture of the church, the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rapture his bride. And watch the last verse of 1 Thessalonians 4. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if you would, come all the way down to verse number 9 of chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Watch it. Here you go. Verse 11. Wherefore, in light of these facts, comfort yourselves. But not just separately. Comfort yourselves together. And edify one another. Even as also ye do.
You say, what's the last thing we should do? Talk to each other about God's promises. That's what he's talking about here. He said in the text, comfort yourselves together. What do we comfort each other about? What he talked about in chapter 4? The Lord's coming back. The promises of God. You know what we're doing tonight? We are fulfilling 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. We are comforting ourselves together. We sung together. We're fellowshipping together. We're preaching. We're in service together. We are comforting ourselves together. I'll tell you this. Listen to me. You need the Christian fellowship of God's people. You need it. I need it. If you are constantly discouraged, come to church. It'll help you get encouraged. I can't tell you how many times, Brother Devon, I have come to a church service discouraged, and I left encouraged. I mean, brother, if you could have seen me sometimes as the preacher, as the guy that's supposed to get up here preaching to you. If you could have seen me in spiritual eyes sometimes, brother, I come through the doors. I mean, just limping my way in. Now, you didn't see that on the outside. I'm going to try and encourage myself in the Lord. I just come limping in. But by the time we put the final amen on this booger and walked out the door, amen. Praise the Lord. Lord of God. Man, God is still good. The Lord still is on the throne. I believe I'll go read my Bible another day. I believe I'll pray another time. I believe I'll serve God one more day. I mean, I just got plain old encouraged by being with God's people. I've heard people say things like this. I'm done. Talking about encouraging ourselves. I've literally heard people say things like this. Brother Caden, I've heard them say this. Well, I'm discouraged. I'm not coming to church. Well, just plan on staying discouraged. You know what I found out about some people? This is what I found out. Esther, help me here. I'm done here. This is what I found out. Some people don't want to be encouraged. For some weird reason, some people like to wallow around in their pit of discouragement. I don't know why. Maybe they can't help it. Maybe they can't get out of it. But some people like they just choose to stay in this pit. And I don't understand why. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm not telling you recipes and I'm not telling you remedies that might work to help you be encouraged. No. It's much more certain than that. I'm talking to you about the Bible. And I'm talking to you about the Word of God. I'm telling you what God said. Not what Cody Zorn said. I'm telling you what God said. And I'm telling you tonight, if we'll apply the remedies and the recipes from what the Bible said by the Holy Ghost, every person in here, male, female, young and old, can stay encouraged even in discouraging days. Talk to yourself in praise. Hey, get in your car on a discouraging Monday morning, put you some gospel music in, crank that bad boy up till it rattles the windows, and leave your tonsils on your rearview mirror. Pull up to the red light and make all them people in the hood wonder what in God's name's wrong with that woman. Yeah. Make people pass you on the interstate and go. Tears running all down your face. Makeup already smeared before you got to work. But you are getting something for your soul. Yeah. Go hunt you down a private place and just tell it all to God. And every time you can, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, find you a little beach in this church somewhere. Get around some people that'll help you pray and help lift you up before God. And get around some people that's going to sing like you. They're trying to live for God like you. They want to hear preaching like you. They've been reading the Bible like you. Get around this kind of crowd right here and get your batteries recharged so you can be encouraged. I want to stay encouraged. I don't want to be old bitter backslid Baptist where I'm just mad at you and everybody. I want to be happy about serving the Lord. Encourage yourself. This world ain't going to do it. The Lord will help you. But you've got to make your mind up. I'm going to try and encourage myself in the Lord. Let's all stand tonight. Do you want to encourage yourself in the Lord? Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we sure do need you. God, such dark days. Not going to try and lie to folk and tell them it ain't. It is. Plenty of things to be discouraged about. No doubt about it. But Lord, I'd like to say there are plenty of things for us to be encouraged about. God, the Bible gives us a whole lot of things we can be encouraged about. Help us to take David's example and David's lead and encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Bless your church. Bless your people. Encourage them this week. Help them. In Jesus' name, if you need to come, you come.